This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Father, we give you glory. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of this new year that you gave unto us a few days ago. Thank you for every day of the month of January. Thank you for every year we have spent in your presence. Bless your name, O Lord. We give you glory. We declare that you are highly exalted. We bless your name, Lord. We give you glory as we worship you. You are wonderful and you are worthy. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for strength. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for enlarging our coasts every day. Thank you, Father, for enriching our lives and reality with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day as we reason, we do not reason like mere men. We do not stand with sinners. We do not sit with scornful. We are not part of a mocking gang. We belong to you. We are renewed in the grace and in the energy that you have given unto us, by which we measure our walk by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your anointing. Thank you for testimonies on every side. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. We've been praying, Lord, since the midnight. And as we pray through the month of February, we know that not only are we praying so that angels can ascend and descend upon us, so that our entire environment can be saturated with light, so that we can have understanding, deep insights, we can have synesis, we can have a whole new view and perspective of divinity, so that we can look at issues critically, measure them as they ought to be measured, and come to the conclusion that you have come to concerning them, so that we can make the right decisions, so that we can do the right things. Not only are we praying for that, we are also praying because we know that when we pray in the Holy Ghost and when we pray in you, we are empowered. We are empowered with might in our inner man to do things that are beyond the physical, to reverse certain verdicts, to give grace to those who are fellow believers who have misused, abused, or behaved in such a way that has allowed grace to have simply no effect or very little effect on their lives. We could give grace. We could amass and then dispense grace, that we could rescue many who are perishing, that we could speak to people's situation and turn the situations around, that the anointing that we have might bring rain in the season of drought for many, and that all those that needed help, when they come to us, they can receive God-like help. Like that woman that was having the issue of blood, the Bible said that when she touched the Lord Jesus, that power was released unto her, virtue was released unto her. We pray because we know that when we do so, virtue is increased in us. Virtue is increased all around us, so that all those who need help in time of need, they can grab a hold of us. And through us, they can reach into you and get virtue from you. We pray, we know that when we pray, wisdom is increased in us, that those who are lost, they might come to us to say, we need the word of counsel. And we will not counsel them according to the flesh. We will not speak to them using our human understanding. We will not put ourselves in their shoes and say, oh, if I'm in your shoes, this is what I would do. No, we would give them counsel to the extent that they would listen to us and they would hear us as oracles of God. They will look at us and they will say, oh, just listen to JSW speak. It will be as if God himself has spoken, not because we have any power of our own, but because we depend on the wisdom of God, because we rely on the power of God, because we rely on the might of God, because we rely on the leading of the Most High God, that we may be Christians indeed, full of power, full of grace, full of truth. We pray indeed that the things that we thought are impossible for us to do naturally, we will have the power to do them supernaturally. Jesus Christ said when he was here on the earth that the cup that the Lord told him to drink of, he said God should take it away from him because it seemed the cup was bitter and he wanted a change of course of action. But God told him, and I say to us, every one of us, God told him, hey, that his grace was sufficient so that he could go through that season. And when he went through that season, according to the word of God, he had the strength to go through it. He had the power to go through it. He was able to purchase our salvation. Even though it was a bitter cup, he was able to drink of it because he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why we pray. We pray because we know that when we don't, our power fades away. The Bible said that if you faint on the day of adversity, he said your strength is small. That is the word of God. We pray because we do not want our strength to be small. For the year 2025, especially for the race that is set before us, for all the things that the Lord has shown us in our heart to achieve, we pray because we know that when we do this, we are empowered with might in our inner man. We are able to see farther. We are able to do more. We are able to perceive more. We are able to walk the distance, to go through the whole 9 yards. We know that when we pray, that we receive of him who has called us with a holy calling, we receive of him a divine strength by the Spirit to do, to act, to perform, and to show forth the grace of his glory. We know all the benefits of praying. We know that when we pray, we shut the mouth of lions. We know that when we pray, we take Goliath and we make him a prey in a battle that has been rigged against us. We know that when we pray, fiery fire is nothing. We know that when we pray, the fire may burn and rage. We do not get burnt. But that is the word of God concerning us. He said, when you go through the waters, they will not overcome you, they will not overflow. He said, when you walk through the fire, it will not have any impact upon you. He said, behold, hey, I have given Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou art honorable before me, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, will I give men for thee and people for thy life. We know that when we pray, we transmit the divine energy that we have in order to have divine strength so that nothing anybody can do can hurt us. We pray so that the mouth and the words of mockers will have no impact on us. Hey, a lot of Christians will say, oh, I'm hurt. Somebody betrayed me. Somebody spoke about me. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. It is painful. A friend betrayed me. Somebody stabbed me in the back. Hey, when a Christian prays, the power to forgive comes. The power to walk through the cutting barbs of man come. The power to render the desire of man useless come. You find out that no matter how many stings of death is in your body, no mater how many fiery darts are launched against you, you can brush them aside in the place of prayer. They have no impact. They have zero impact. Let them gather. Let them speak. It is unto nothing. They have no power against you. Words of men are empty to the man who prays. The scheme of men is nothing to the man who prays. Let them pray. Let them talk. Let them gather together and enter the ends and call each other and be whatever they say, they remain birds of prey to a man who prays. A man who prays is not a slave to no man. Before his God, he stands sure. His prayers are taken as incense before God. The Bible says that the tears of a man who prays that are bottled and presented to God. God is precious in the sight of God. He's the prayer of the saints. That is what the Bible says. So a Christian would rather pray than complain. A Christian would rather pray than murmur. A Christian should pray than just tell people he saw our problems, looking for sympathy, looking for a tap in the back. A Christian shouldn't worry that, oh, they are changing the economic system of a country. Oh, the president of a country is doing this, vice president is doing that. A Christian's life is not governed by news in the news media. A Christian knows that he has come unto Zion, the city of the living God, and that where he lives, he is the authority, he is the principality and the power. He is not afraid of witches, he's not afraid of wizards, he's not afraid of anyone. A Christian is a fearless being who has been deliberately crafted to show forth the fullness of the power of Jehovah everywhere he goes. A Christian fears no man. A Christian does not pray against any enemy. The enemies are naturally afraid of a Christian. A Christian does not curse. A Christian is a blessing, for there is nothing in him that is not light. This is why we pray. This is why we teach the world how to pray. This is how we show the world the essence of the divine life that we carry. That when we pray, things change. When we pray, things happen. When we pray, we have the audacity to stand in two, three places at once and to sort out reality. This is why we pray. And in this month, this year, this February, we are praying throughout the month. Hour to hour, minute to minute, second to second. And not only are we praying, we are learning divine strategies from the Holy Ghost. We are learning divine strategies from the Holy Spirit. It is important that believers learn divine strategies, that believers come to a place where they are as gentle as a dove, but as wise as serpents. The simplicity of a believer is not foolishness. But when two or three people gather against a believer and they begin to plot, a believer like Daniel, the Bible said, all the people, they gathered, they plotted, they schemed, they were trying to find a weak point, but they couldn't find. They couldn't find it. They had to look and search. They said it was perfect. That means Daniel was a planner. Daniel was excellent. Daniel was someone that when you walk into his world, you find things at the right place as they should be. A lot of Christians, they forgot this. They go to a foreign country, leaving behind a trail of fraud. If you look into their life, you will see so many inconsistent weaknesses that you can use against them. And yet, they are Christians. They cannot say, I am like Daniel, even in 2025. The Bible said when they searched the life of Daniel, they couldn't find a weak point. You know what a weak point is? When you do something and somebody says to you, if you don't do what I want, I will tell. That's a weak point. That person has found an underbelly of weakness that he or she can exploit in order to make you do their will. Many Christians, because we do not live like Christians anymore, we live in so many soft underbellies. So many soft underbellies, so many weaknesses. We do things. Somebody will take a picture. Then somebody will tell you, look, I have a picture. picture of something you did with somebody. If you don't have it, put it on the internet, then the Christian becomes powerless. Why? Because he or she did not live even to the standard of Daniel. And Daniel was something with the Holy Ghost, just trying to make you see. Christian will do something, then they say they want to bring an auditor to the office to come and check the books. A Christian's heart begins to pump. The Christian becomes afraid, begins to look for a way to bribe the auditors, begin to look for a way to sort things out. Why? Because he or she has done something. He or she has done something to hand over his ability to stand in the place of truth. He has handed over that ability to another because he left so many weak underbellies. I want you to pray today. Wherever you are. Because when we learn strategy, there is offensive strategy. There is defensive strategy. And throughout the month of February, when I come on the call, 3 p.m., I'm going to teach us on strategies from scriptures, so that by the time we are done praying and learning, we would have advanced ourselves in our thinking. We would have prospered ourselves in our place of work. We will have sorted the marital issue that has been a problem. We would have learned to establish our businesses and to do things the right way. We would have learned. We would have learned. We will no longer be Christians without knowledge. We will be able to march into situations and solve them using the wisdom of God. But a man that has weak underbellies, a woman that has weak underbellies, is a victim. He or she cannot be assertive. You cannot live your life on your terms when you have a weak underbelly. I want you to talk to the Lord and be sincere in your prayer. Where is that weak underbelly? Can you identify it? Did you falsify your age at one time and you know that somebody can easily find that document and use it against you? Did you have a child before you got married and you lied? That child is not your own, and you are every day afraid that, hey, this weakness. Did you commit paternal fraud? Did you give a child belonging to another man to your husband? And every day you are afraid the husband may find out, and your heart is beating. What are the soft underbellies that you have that people can leverage against you? That the devil can use to accuse you. Of course, you know his name is the accuser of the brethren. So what he does is he tackles the Christian using information. Using information. He creates lies. And then when he couldn't create lies, he would use as truths. Two issues. He would use them to craft a file of offense, and then he would nudge a believer with it. He does not go to God with it. He doesn't go to God with it. He goes to other people with it. Goes to people that you respect. Goes to people that you hold in high esteem. Goes to your parents, to your husband, to your wife, to people in your office. Go to your church, and then you become afraid that you are going to become irrelevant or useless or disdained in front of those that highly esteem you, and then it threatens you with it, so that you can comply, so that you can do His will. You talk to the Lord. Say, Father, any power that anyone is holding over me that I have given to the enemy. Any power that I've given to anyone that is threatening where I am now, that is threatening my sanctity of mind, my sanity, that is threatening my job, my well-being. Father, I want you to take that power from them. I want you to take me from where I am, where that power can be used against me. Father, relocate me to where that power can no longer work against me. I mean that as a prayer. Render this power useless. Render this power useless. Render this leverage of the enemy useless over my destiny. Render it useless over my husband, over my wife, whatever hold anybody may have. And they will say, oh, I have this boss in my hand. I can crush it at any time. Render that boast useless. A Christian must be free. Believer must be free to make his decision. You must not be pseudo-governed by another person. If your mom or your father is pseudo-governing you, blackmailing you to make decisions against your will, as a Christian today, stop it. Stop it. People should not pseudo-govern you against the will of God. If you are here, you are married, or you are cheating on your spouse. That is a weak underbelly. That is something that you don't want somebody people to hear. That is something you are afraid that somebody can use against you. That is something the person you are with, that is not married to you, can use against you. That is a soft underbelly. You do not know what harm you do to yourself. When you expose yourself, so people have serious negative agenda. They can use your softness, that soft underbelly, to ruin your life. Wait until you are about to get a political appointment, you're about to become the MD of a place, or you're about to get to the top, and then somebody tells you to step down. And you say, why? They say, oh, we have this picture, we have this fact, we have this information. Step down for another person. And you realize, my God, my weakness has stood against me in my day of blessing. May that not be your portion. It is important that we are able to talk to the Lord. The Lord turns things like this around for those who have an understanding of his word, who come into him. He gives them not only the strength, he also gives them the strategy to come out of it. God does not want believers to have weak underbellies. Talk to the Lord. Oh, I'm addressing the Church of Jesus today, a church without soft, without spots and wrinkles. But you belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. You are washed in him. You are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Your garments are spotless, and they are white as snow. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The word of the Lord concerning you this season, that no one who has raised up their hand or gathered against you evidence or determined that you will not make it in life, none of them will prevail against you. Your vision is the prevailing vision. The Lord delights in the use of vessels such as us, broken vessels, vessels that seem to have no place in the strength and the markings of men, vessels that seems to have lacked personal boasts, the ability to boast in their own will. So the Lord will take us as broken as we are, and he will bring us out, and he will wash us, he will make us clean, and he will render the verdict that was against us useless. And that is why, as believers, none of us can say, oh, before I became born again, I was perfect. It was in his righteousness that we became perfect. It was he that has decided to give us a new story, a new reality, a new life. And unto him we have come. Because not only did we receive the new life for ourselves, we have also received that new life in order to govern the world, in order to change the world, in order to challenge the world and bring the world to a kill before him. And that is why it is important that when voices rise against us, and surely they do, even sometimes justifiably they do, that they do not rise against us and we are powerless to crush them. That when they rise, We will have moved far beyond their ability to touch us if we are led by the Spirit, that they are always in the light of our shadows and never ahead of us. So as believers, it is important that you do things properly. A believer who does not do things properly, who doesn't do things in a shambolic manner, and then will be praying, is a man or woman who can never be entrusted with excellence. You cannot ask God to increase you. You know, you are driving, you are riding a motorcycle. You cannot maintain the tire so that the tires are good. But you are trusting God now for a motorcycle. If you cannot maintain a bicycle, you have no business asking God for a motorcycle. And if you cannot maintain a motorcycle, you have no business asking God for a car. As simple as ABC. It's why some believers are prospering and some are poor. It's because it is not because God is partial. It is because, according to the scriptures, God gives to each according to their capacity. Was that not what you saw in the parable of the talents? The Bible said they gave one 5, they gave one 2, and then they gave one 1. And they gave them according to their capacity. You see, so the reason why God would bless somebody and somebody else would be saying, oh, God has blessed this guy so much, but God has not really blessed me. It's not because God doesn't want to bless you. It is because of your capacity. We do not cast our pearls before swine. We do not give capacity to those who cannot take advantage of them. So if God has given the one with 1 5, that was I will have buried the 5. And at the end of the day, it will be God that will lose. But the one that got 5 because of capacity was able to turn it to 10 because God has judged him based on his capacity. A man is incapacitated by secret sins. A man is incapacitated when the things he's supposed to be able to do, he cannot do. And let me say that again. If at any time you find yourself under the influence of somebody who doesn't like you, who doesn't care about you, and the person has the leverage to threaten or to want to use one thing or the other against you, and if that thing is true, then your capacity is what has been questioned. Now, the person has hindered your capacity to perform, even though you can do that thing so well. The threat and the fact would come against your capacity. You shouldn't give anybody that kind of power, because as a believer, if you are going to move, if you are going to advance your course in life, you should expense a bit of resistance, not only from people, from demons, from the enemy, and you shouldn't give them something to work with. I was invited to help a couple that are having marital issues. And I stood there, and the husband was quiet, and the wife was narrating her ordeal, in quotes, to myself and the mother. And when the wife was done, they said the mother said the husband should speak, and the husband began to speak. Now, while the wife was speaking, the woman was totally quiet, you know, allowed her to stay everything in her mind for almost an hour. Then it was his turn to speak. And he said, oh, can I open my phone? I want to show you guys something. And the wife went berserk. The wife stood up and said, calm down. He has spoken. Let him speak. You have spoken. Let him speak. No, that's what he will do. He wants to open phone. And then next thing, she had grabbed him by the neck. And we had to do everything to release, to fight, to take the husband away from her hold. And then the mother of the wife began to scream. Is this how you treat your husband? Is this how you treat your husband? You are doing it in front of me. I am your mother. If you did it in front of his own mother, will his mother allow him to sleep under the same roof? If you did this in front of his relative, will the relative allow you to sleep in the same roof? You treated your husband like this in front of me. You have given me no words. I can't defend you. I can't fight for you. Your church shows I cannot fight for you. The wife was too far. She wasn't even listening to what her mother was saying. That the mother was saying, your behavior has shown I cannot defend you. How do I stand before anybody and say my daughter did this and it is justifiable? And some of us act that way. We leave God nothing to work with. We leave God nothing to work with. We leave God nothing. We leave him nothing, not a shred to work with because of our ability to ruin our own reality. It is time for believers to begin to turn. It's time for you to look at yourself. There is nothing that helps a believer like introspection, like coming into reality of yourself and saying, hey, I'm not doing better here. Oh, I'm dropping the ball here. I'm dropping the ball here. And when you find out you are dropping the ball, no sentiment, even to yourself, you turn immediately, not later. Not later. Not like, I know it is wrong, but there's no but. Bible says the moment the prodigal son knew that the path was treading, the moment he came to himself and he said, ah, there is a better place that I can be. There is a better place. There is a better place. He turned immediately. He didn't allow himself to think, I can still turn it around. And in this foreign land, I can still make it. All I need is just to get some money. I can still land on my feet. He didn't go into self-delusion. He immediately turned and went back home. And the same thing I'm calling on believers today who are on this call. I do not enjoy it when believers pray and they say their prayers are not answered. And you ask them why. And when they begin to speak, you realize that their prayer cannot be answered because of what they are asking God for. See, somebody that is cheating on a husband or on the wife cannot be asking God to protect her secret. Say, God, please, please, don't let him know. Don't let him know. I'm sorry. I'm just, don't let him, when I talk to him, let him hear me. Don't let him, why? What kind of prayer is that? Husband is calling. Wife is, she won't pick the phone. Hello? God, please, don't let him know. How is that a prayer that you expect God to answer? When did God become an accessory to your sin or somebody that helps you to cover your sin? Accessory after the fact or accessory to your accomplice? When did God become that? And eventually, when we look at how we make our decisions, we realize that it is not often the devil that is after the believer because the devil has no jurisdiction in the life of a believer. That is the truth. I don't care what other pastors teach. I'm not them. I know the gospel. When you come into the kingdom of his own dear son, you come under the rulership of Christ. Therefore, the devil does not have access to your life anymore. That is the scripture. He has translated you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the scripture. That means you have moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You are now under Christ. Unbelievers can be saying the devil is doing something to them because they are in darkness, so they are under his rulership. A Christian has been moved out of that to this. So when Christians are saying enemy, I look at them, I say, what are you talking about? You are under Christ now. So now you are in the light. You can actually build. You can actually grow. But when you keep going back to the previous way your life was, you cannot achieve that. So there is no enemy in the life of a believer. There is nothing like that. When we are praying, we don't pray against enemy. We don't pray against any witch, any wizard. They cannot even come close. Our kingdom is above. Their kingdom is below. The Bible says that he has put the devil under our feet. Is that not what your Bible says? Jesus Christ said, I have put the devil under your feet. We are not supposed to be afraid of the devil at all. And then he said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be there too. You may be there too. And we are now seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. That is what your Bible says. You are not far above. So how is the devil attacking you? Most of the time, we are the one that are swallowing ourselves tail first, like a barracuda. And we are crying that it is the enemy. Our decision making as Christians is a bit, it's a bit, like, leaves a bit to be desired. And as a result of not walking in wisdom, oftentimes those who walk in fear do not walk in wisdom. I like to talk to the Lord. Like to talk to him. As a believer, as a Christian, he knows the measure of your faith. Please mute it. I could talk to the Lord. He knows the full measure. He knows your frame. That's what the Bible says. He knows your frame. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. It's only today that I want to do this. I want the believer to look at himself. I want to look at myself too. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. But today we are here and we can make do. We can do better. We can do better. Ask the Lord for the strength to begin to do better. Talk to the Lord. I want you to, in all sincerity, talk to the Lord. It's not good to assume when we pray. I like to assume that all of us are at the same level. But sometimes the Lord will say, oh no. Tell the Lord, help my resolve. Help me, help my resolve, help my ability to solve issues, to make the right decision, not to be moved by mindsets that would render me powerless. That people will say we have a hold over him. Oh, we have a hold. That somebody can say that if I call her phone once, they no burn and make she no answer me. She no answer me, her life don't spoil. That somebody can say that about a Christian means the Christian is under somebody's direct control. And that means that you have ceded territory to the enemy. The Bible says we should resist the devil and he will flee. Ask the Lord for the strength to resist, to attack again and take your territory back in whatever form, to take back your territory. That the enemy, that nobody will be able to make you a slave after Christ has set you free. If there is any way that because of love or because of life or because of insecurities or certain issues of life, if there is any way you have let down your guard, that all those spaces are filled up now. You are not far above principalities and power. You are far above the boast of men. You are far above the wishes of men. You have the ability to speak now and achieve great and mighty things. You are thinking right. You are thinking right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. I hope you prayed. Now, if you are here and you need counseling in any way, like I said, it is very important. We sort these things out by the Spirit so that we are well led into the next stages of our life. If you are here, you need counseling in any way, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or any of the admins down on social media or on WhatsApp or our phone number. What is the issue? What is that issue? You will receive godly counsel. We'll walk you through it, we'll support you through it. And in doing that, we would ensure that the hand of the enemy is broken off you completely. It is part of our Christian duty to do that. It's one of the reasons why I do not shy away to talk about these things. I like to talk about them. I know that Christians in their realities go through a lot of things. And sometimes people hold things over our heads and threaten to do whatever to us, and some of us will fold. And then we allow the enemy to take control. But you have Christ, you are full of him. That shouldn't be the case anymore. All right. So, in talking spiritual strategies, you come to the session every day, 6 p.m., and we begin to discuss them. We would look at, by the grace of God, realities in different nations where we are, and the ability to make headway using the word of God, using the principles of the spirit, gaining advantage over adversaries, either spiritual, physical, corporate, being able to make something out of nothing. For example, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, we saw that the world was without form and void, and God then recreated the world. God used a strategy in Genesis chapter 1. And that strategy is the strategy that all of us who are starting out a business, a ministry, we want to start out something, we want to start a home, like a marriage, or we want to start out maybe something. That strategy is what we all should endeavor to use. Some of us, we don't use that strategy. Our parents would create a world and put us in it. Our parents would take us, they would pay for our education and say, you are going to become a lawyer. And then you are going to work in my firm after you graduate. So our parents have created a world, right? And then they sponsor us through university and then we come work for them in their law firm. So some of us did not get to start by making something out of a void reality. But in Genesis 1, the power to create something out of a void reality was made obvious to everyone by how God made the world. What did God do? Number one, God had a vision in his heart. Let me say this again. And some of you, I want you to listen to me well. I want you to listen to me very well because I'm about to put scripture, how you know scriptures, I'm about to put it to task. And I'm going to speak slowly so you understand. When the Bible told us that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And you have to imagine that God was coming from somewhere. Yeah? God was coming from somewhere. Then he came to the earth, and then he saw the state of the earth. So that means there was a place God was coming from. You see? Before he created the heaven and the earth, there was a realm of glory where God dwells. And God was coming from that realm of glory. And then God came to the earth and the earth was without form. Now, when God was going to remake the earth, what did you think God was remaking the earth after? What was the picture in God's mind? The picture in God's mind was the picture of where he was coming from, the picture of the realm of glory. So, for example, somebody has lived in America for a long time. You will notice this in, not America, let's say London. You'll notice this in Nigeria, if you're a Nigerian or Africa, certain countries of Africa, where colonizers came. When the white men came, they saw the way Africa was, and then they began to rebuild. They wanted to build certain cities to look like where they were coming from. So when you get to some countries, you will see Jersey. Then in another country, you will see New Jersey. You get to some countries, you see England. You get to another country, you see New England. Some countries, you see, they have Lagos. Then you come to another country, you will see another Lagos. Yeah. You then realize the picture I'm painting. Somebody that came from America, from London, traveled to America, grew up in America, will name a city after another city that he came from. And when you go to Australia, you will see the same picture, right? And so they will have New England here, they have New England there, they have, and then the original England is somewhere, right? And so it was a picture of where they were coming from that was in their hearts. So when they get to a new place, they name the place after where they were coming from, and then they try to recreate the picture of where they are coming from in this new place. It is very typical of God to do that. So when you look at Revelation chapter 4 and you look at Revelation chapter 5, you will see the realm of glory. What are the things you saw there? You saw archangels. You saw them. One has the head of a lion. One has the head of an ox. One has the head of an eagle in flight. One has the head of man. So that was the realm of glory. See? So when God came to the world, he created beings that looked like the ones that he left in the realm of glory. Yeah, I know it's complicated, but it's very simple. It was the picture of the beings that are surrounding his throne that God used to create this world. So I'm trying to show you that if you want to create something out of voidness, it starts with a picture in your mind. You see, it is a strategy to have a vision in your heart, a picture in your own heart. Even though the reality is void, but in your heart, you must have a picture. This is what I want to create. I want to build a three-bedroom. I want to build a mansion. I want to build a maisonette. I want to build a business. I want to build a warehouse. I want to build a storage unit. I want to build a hospital. I want to build a railway station. It will all start with a picture in your heart. When you have that picture in your heart, just like God, it doesn't matter whether where you are looking at is void or whether it's a trash dump. It doesn't matter whether the place you came for is a marshy place. It doesn't matter. I have seen people that bought marshlands and it didn't matter how much they spent billions to fill it up and to build what they had in their heart on it. But when they were looking at it originally, it was a marshland. It was a land that was supposed to be a wasteland, a dead land. But because they had a picture in their heart, they knew what they wanted to build. Then they were able to find the resources to build what they had in their heart. So the first thing to know is that you must have a picture in your heart. It is a strategy that works for all those who are going to be pioneers of businesses to have a picture, to hold the picture in their hearts and say, this is what I have, which was a vision, something to see, something that you can have a mental picture of that you want to bring forth to birth into this world. Yeah. So that is the first thing. A picture in their heart. The second thing is then to take pen to paper, see, and write out this vision, make it plain. See, otherwise, God would have created man first before he created the land and the sea. He could have done that. But you see, the systematic way in which God created everything shows you that God was deliberate in ensuring that. There is an order to how this new image that he was trying to form would come to being. So first, he created light. When he created light, he started a chain reaction of chemical reactions within the ecosystem. As soon as light came, and then there was sun, and then there was moon, then it began to have a chemical reaction. The earth was responding. to the sunlight was responding, to the earth light was responding, and then there was photosynthesis for the animals when he created them, and then all the beings began to react, and so as he began to make them, they began to be made. So the first thing that you need, you have the picture, and then how do I get this done? Then you begin to articulate it. Step number one, I need to acquire this, I need to acquire that. So you need to put them in there. And then you have to scale them. You see, when God made the earth, the Bible said the first thing he made after he made all things was that man and woman was in a garden. They were in a garden. He didn't say they were in the whole world. Do you know what that means? That God scaled it. It started small. So they say, I want to own a bank one day. Oh, glory. That's not a bad idea. To own a bank is a good thing. How do you start? Maybe you look at it and say, oh, start with thrift. You start with the cooperative society. Oh, you start with the microfinance bank. You see, he scaled it to size. So God scaled it to garden. Garden. He said, till the garden, tend to it. He knew that eventually the garden over time would grow. Man will learn the skills, and then it will no longer be a garden, it will be the whole earth. But he scaled it. So you have to learn how to scale it too. So some people, they have very ridiculous dreams that are unachievable because they did not understand the power of scaling. They do not understand the power that, okay, your dream is not small. If you scale it, say, oh, this is where I'm going. No, my intention was to have the biggest cement factory in Africa. That's my intention. But first, I want to serve my local community, and then I want to move on from there to state. And then the more I'll branch, the more I'll grow. So that in 20 years, there is a system in which you grow and you expand over time. The empire of envying those who had become so big. But when you look at their stories, you realize that they started small. I remember listening to testimony years ago of RCCG as a church. And I remember hearing the testimony of how the signboard of the church was bigger than the main church that they had in Epitimata years back. And then you see how they began to grow. Yeah. So even though I use the example of a church now, it is the same thing for all entities. If you are going to grow, you scale, see the beginning to learn strategy. Now, the next thing for those who have nothing, after you have written down, this, what are the things I can achieve? What are the things I need that I can do by myself that I don't need to beg anybody for? See? Oh, okay, I can have a WhatsApp group. That one I can have by myself. I don't need to call anybody for WhatsApp group. And then I can write, I can study, I can search for things and do courses on this thing I want to achieve so that I can have knowledge of it. And then when I have enough knowledge and I know how to do it, I can get resource people. Then I can find people that have a like mind with me and they're having a conference somewhere I will attend. Then I will share my vision with them. Some of them will buy into that vision and we can now form a team. Let me say this. It is very important. You see how God said in the scriptures that let us make man in our own image. And then he was discussing as if he was talking to a team. And then other people teach us that, oh, he was talking to Elohim. He was talking to God the Father. He was talking to God the Son. He was talking to, but we could deduce from his words that God was talking to a team. You see, the strength of a wolf is not in his teeth. It's not in his fangs. The strength of a wolf is in his pack. P-A-C-K. In his pack. That is a team. He does not attack alone. Does not. Always moving in groups. You must recreate yourself. You must find people with like minds. People that you can share the same vision with. You are not training them on the emotional level. This is not some people, let me not go there because of time. What I mean by that is simple. You find people, okay, you want to build your desire to build a particular project. And you say, okay, where are they having the conference? You go there. When you get there, you write, or people talk about their own, you borrow ideas, you share your ideas, you find one or two people, you make contacts, you begin to talk to them. Some of them will have resources, some of them will have expertise, some of them would have known somebody who has some money that wanted to invest. Some of them will want to come in as angel investors or silent partners. At the end of the day, you have a vision. Now you have articulated it. Now you have found a group by yourself. You have gained some skills. You have through that found people with like mind. You have spoken to them. And then from there, you begin to talk about, okay, what can each person bring together? And there you begin to talk about building that job. It is not so difficult. I mean, it's not difficult to build and deliver your dream. A lot of us would give excuses. Oh, I didn't have transfer money to attend that conference. I didn't have money to register. I didn't have, if your dream is big enough, you will walk from Ondo State to Lagos State. I've seen somebody who did it with their two leg walked because the vision was strong enough. It's only a weak vision that does not compel action. For a strong vision, people will travel, people will run, people will cry, people will fight, people will do crazy things because it was strong enough. It was a compelling vision. So, of course, there are so many things you have in your heart to do, but a lot of them are going to be as they are. Going to bring you some tomorrow. Make sure you are on time. The freshest. And we are going to discuss a lot of things. But remember what we discussed today. Remember it with all your heart. It's time to give our offering. And as we give our offering today, the offering is for the less privileged and the poor. Every time we do this, we always give for the less privileged and to the poor. People that are always writing and meaning to do well with their life. We pay their school fees. We help them. We help their vision. We help them to do well. We talk to them. We group them. We ensure that they do not fall to the hand of the enemy, that people will not recruit them as touts and use them as thugs and use them to... We do that every quarter. And that's what we are doing for them this weekend, this month. So know that as you give today, it is not to me or to anybody. This is not to the ministry. Whatever you give today is for the less privileged. We do this throughout the month to ensure that we keep them in school, to ensure that their parents could heave a sigh of relief knowing that they do not have to prostitute themselves or go the way of the devil or start taking drugs or become whatever. We do that. And as you do that, the Lord bless and replenish you. Keeps his eyes of face upon you. Again, every day going forward to the end of the month, we will learn strategies from scripture. It will all be according to the word. And to help us scale us upward, increase our wisdom. Not only are you learning with words, by the grace of God, the impartation that comes with wisdom is also upon you to empower you to achieve the things that we are discussing. So every time we do this, people will write later and say, after the prevailing prayer, I started my business. After the prevailing prayer, I found my husband. After the prevailing prayer, I was able to have a child. And the reason for that is we pray, then we teach, and then the impartation follows. And the impartation then makes people, buoys people, to be able to fulfill and achieve God's purpose unhindered in their lives. Glory be to God. If you are blessed by this ministration, please unmute and shout, glory!
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For For more Spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.